Okay, Kedushas Levi, Parshas Bereishis, Tafshin Ayin Ches. The first piece is a little abstract, and the second piece we're going to learn is very, very practical. Okay, but this is an amazing piece, and it gives us certain yesodos about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us every second of every day. Bereishis bara Elokim, Eis HaShamayim Ve'Eis HaAretz. HaKlal Shehabore Baruch Hu Hu Bara HaKol. Now let's just pause for a second and realize this is the first piece in Kedushas Levi. So you can imagine, this is the Berditch of her talking to us for the first time. And telling us about the Ribbono Shalom. Famous Maisa that Mashpi always likes to tell, that the Berditchever one time gathered the whole tzibur, gathered the whole community together into the shul. It's like a regular Tuesday afternoon in the middle of the workday. And he got everyone together and he put on a talis. And he was standing in front of the Aron. Everyone thought, like, you know, he got terrible news, some gezeirah from the Malchus is coming their way. And he had no idea what, everyone was like very frightened by it. And the Berditchever said, I just want to remind you that there's a Ribbono Shalom. You have to remember there's a Borei Olam. Right? The Berditchever wanted us to realize that Hashem is real. And Hashem is real every single day of the calendar year. We spoke yesterday, not only in Tishrei, but even in Mar Cheshvan. Not only on spiritually illuminated days, but even on regular days. So he got everyone together on a regular afternoon, and he said, you have to remember, there's a Borei Olam. You can't forget that. So he says as follows, HaKlal Shehaborei Baruch Hu Hu Bara HaKol. The rule is, the first rule of reality, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything. V'hu HaKol. And He is everything. V'hashpa'aso einu nifsak me'olam. And His influence, His involvement in our world, His hashpa in the world, is constant. It never stops, ever. Einu nifsak me'olam. Ki b'chol rega, mashpia, shefa, lebruav, u'lechol ha'olamus. Because at every moment, every second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is influencing, sending down His divine abundance to this world, having a hashpa on the world, to all of creation, all of the olamos, all of the world, l'chol ha'hechalos. Again, he's using different terms that we don't even understand, but the different worlds that are beyond our world that we can't even see, the different hechalos, the different heavenly chambers and academies and things that exist beyond our world, l'chol ha'malachim, not only human beings, but to all the angelic beings on high, l'chol chayos ha'kodesh. We know there's 10 different Lashonos, I think the Rambam says, for different types of Malachim. So Malachim, and Chayas HaKodesh, and Ofanim, and all sorts of things we have no idea, Olamos we have no clue about, we know nothing about. Spiritual worlds. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively giving life and energizing every bit of the Bria, every second of the day. Like some of us hopefully said this morning, in Psuke de Zimra, Va'ata Machaya HaKol. Machaya HaKol. Hashem, you give life to everything. And that means constantly. Not that you created the world and gave us life and then disappeared. That every second of every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mashpia shefa to His creations. V'lachein anu omer, and that's why we say, you have a new understanding of the bracha. When we say, Birchos Kriya Shema, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. What's the word that you're highlighting? Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. It doesn't say, right, it doesn't say Yotzer Or. Lo Yotzer Or Uvara Choshech. Not that God once upon a time created light and dark, day and night. Etc., 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 every part of the Bria. Lo yatzer or, uvara, past tense, choshech, rak yotzer, b'lashon hoveh. That at every second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is recreating the sun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is recreating the desk that you're sitting at, and the pencil that's in your hand, and your eyes, and your heart, and your liver, and every bit of the Bria is being energized at every second. Atta machaya skulim. You give life to everything, Hashem. Every second, you're pumping life. Lashon hoveh. I often say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed us to have a beating heart to remind us of this idea. Because when you see that your heart is literally beating every second, right, it's a reminder to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pumping life into you every second, every second. Spiritual existence. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim wasn't something that happened once upon a time for Adam Rishon. That every second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pumping life into you. You mentioned the Medrash in the beginning of Bereishis. Medrash in the beginning of Bereishis Rabbah. It says on the pasuk, Kol ha'nishama ta'alka ha'luka. Right, kol nishkol aneshama ta'alka haluka. The Medrash says, "Al kol nishima u'nishima ta'alalka." For every breath you take, you should say haluka, because there's no guarantee that you're going to be alive a second later just because you're alive this second. Because Baruch was creating you anew every single second of every single day. Okay. I usually tell people to practice that Medrash. It's a good Medrash. You know, it's a very chashuv Medrash. A couple of years ago, when I was sick and I was wasn't well. I was in and out of the hospital for extended periods of time. So I used to think a lot about that medrash. Kol haneshama ta'alka aluka, akol neshima uneshima ta'alka. For every breath, a person has to say ha'aluka. And I used to really think about that. I felt like there were many times throughout the day when I would just pause and take a breath and just remind myself, you know, thank you Hashem from one breath to the next, that I survived from one breath to the next. But a couple summers ago, when our family used to still go to camp, so I don't know, one day it just like dawned upon me, a good time to practice this medrash. Like to be koveya azman, to practice this medrash. Again, you don't have to walk around all day thanking Hashem for every breath. Right? That's a little extreme. But at least once a day to take a breath, a conscious breath, where you say, Haluka, thank you Hashem. So when's a good time to do this? I think if you're koveya azman for it, I think it's easy to do. I try to be koveya azman when I make a phone call, if I'm calling someone, while the phone is ringing before they pick up. That's my zman, to breathe with kavana. So those like 2 seconds, right? So like between like the time you hit, you know, send and like ring one and two, take those 5 seconds. Again, unless you have like a seder kavua then. If you like chazer mishnayos then or you do something else then, I don't want to take away from that chas v'shalom. But if that happens to be time where you're just standing there waiting for the other person to pick up, that's a good time. Just close your eyes, take a breath, and say thank you, Rabbanu Shalom, that I'm alive. And be mekayim that medrash. Medrash chazal. Bereishis rabba. Kol haneshama ta'alka aluka. Okay? You don't have to do it necessarily every time you're on the phone, but it's a good time to remind you. If you have like a set time to practice this medrash, it's a good way to remind yourself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you life every second. Ki b'chol rega hu yotzer, she b'chol rega hu mashpia chiyus l'kol chai. That every second Hashem is pumping life into all of reality. V'akol meito yisbarach. V'hu shalem. Hashem is perfect and complete. V'hu kol me'akol. And Hashem contains everything within Himself. So that means if Hashem is the source... See, what the secret of this idea really is the following. If Hashem is all of reality, right? If we have a deep understanding of Ein Od Milvado, what's the most simple understanding of the pasuk that says Ein Od Milvado? What's the most simple way to say Ein Od Milvado? There's none besides Him. There's no what besides Him. What's the simplest shot? There's no other God, right? Ein Od Milvado. He's the only God. And anyone else who tells you that this statue is a God, no. Ein Od Milvado. There is none besides Him. He is the only true God. Right? What's the deeper shot in Ein Od Milvado? Right. Kepshuto. Ein Od. There is nothing other than Him. That means you're Him. And I'm Him. And everything we see is Him. Right? We're manifestations of Him. So it makes a lot of sense that if Hashem is the Makor, is the Makor Chaim, Hashem is the source of all life, right? Hashem is the ultimate expression of life, of Chiyus itself. So that means if you're an extension of Him, you also have to be, you know, the most alive thing ever. And the way that takes place is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu making you alive, alive, alive every second. Ki'ilu, it's your first second. Constantly creating you, right? Giving you that constant burst of chiyus. He's mashpia chiyus l'kol chai. Right? Because hu kolol me'akol, because He encompasses everything. That means, again, you're part of Him. V'lechein kish adam ba la'ayin v'yodei ashu eino klom. So when a person comes to a deep reality with a holy submissiveness and humility, and he recognizes the fact that what? Kipshuto ein od movado, that I am ayin, that I am nothing, and there's nothing besides Him. Rakabore baruch hu nosin bo koach, I have nothing of my own. I never earned a dollar in my life. Right? I never took a step on my own. Yeah? I never processed a concept in my brain on my own. Nothing. Nothing is mine. Hashem helped me to walk. Hashem helped me to think. Hashem helped me to breathe. Hashem helps me to hear. Hashem helps me to see. Hashem helps me to understand. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me all my koach. And that every second, I can't take it for granted. And no matter how much I work out in the gym, the fact that I have a big muscle from one second to the next is simply because Hashem recreated me a second later with that big muscle. Okay, to my physical eyes, it looks like I worked out and I made my body stronger. Again, there is a hishtadlus that obviously comes along with, you know, being a part of this world. But the deeper understanding that Berditcher is teaching us, you have to realize that all my koach is from Him. So when I realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything and I'm ayin and I'm nothing, when I negate myself back, right, when my ayin, my nothingness, becomes subsumed and submerged within the bigger ayin, right? What does it mean, the bigger ayin? Ayin means nothingness. Hashem is nothing? No, Hashem is ein sof, right? Ein sof. It's endless. Right? Also, the same way I say to myself, I don't even have any dimensions. So Hashem says, oh, I also don't have any dimensions. But what you're saying is I have nothing, and Hashem's saying I have everything. But there's a common ground between nothing and everything. So when I make myself ayin, I say, I'm nothing, I'm without you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hainu lashon hove. Sorry, I skipped a line. Az mechana laHashem Yisbarach b'shem b'chinas yotzer. So then at that moment, when I give back my life to Hashem, when I realize my life is not my life, so then Hashem is a yotzer. Then I make room for Hashem to, yes, to keep giving me life, to keep recreating me. Dahainu lashon hove. Not Hashem as yatzar, past tense, but Hashem as yotzer. Shigam ata hu yotzer. Right? So God forbid the person who makes himself into a yesh, the person who says, I'm an independent being, I can do this on my own, right? Then he's pushing Hashem away. He's made Hashem, okay, he'll admit that Hashem created them in the past, but now I'm on my own. Okay, so you just made Hashem into a yatzar as opposed to a yotzer. You just made Hashem something of the past as opposed to something of your life right now. When a person looks at himself and he doesn't see, again, the self-negation, right? When he doesn't see with humility that he's nothing other than an extension, a shliach of the Creator himself, he's made himself into a yesh, into a something. So now he's taken Hashem from being an active, present force in my life to being a thing of the past. That God had previously created me. So now listen carefully. Every day you say Yotzer and Yatzar. You say Bracha by Shema, you say Yotzer or Avorei Choshech. But you also say Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam B'Chachma. When you use the restroom, you say Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam. What does that mean, Asher Yatzar? Why do you say Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam B'Chachma? So first let's just read the words, let's see what he says. He says Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam B'Chachma V'Lachin Anu Omrim Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam B'Chachma D'Chachma Hu Madregas Yesh. Chachma is the level of something. What does that mean? It means that Hashem in His essence we have no understanding of. Hashem in His essence, I can't say anything positive about it, I can't say anything negative about it, I have zero understanding of it whatsoever. It is completely beyond any description. It's not even the beginning of a development of an idea. Let's just pause for a second. What is Chachma, Bina, and Das? Tell me the difference between Chachma type of understanding or thinking, Bina, and Das. So the Baal HaTanya says Chachma is the same letters as, anyone know? Chachma is the same as Koach Ma. Koach Ma means the potential of something. Chachma is that moment where you have that spark of an idea and you don't even know how to describe it yet. You're sitting with your friend, you're working on a project. Yeah? You're working on a class project. And all of a sudden you say, I got it. So your friend says, what? Hold on. I can't tell you yet. Do you have it or do you not have it? Right? The light bulb went on. You know you have something, but you don't even know how to formulate it yet. So Chachma is explained by the Tanya and many other Svarim HaKadoshim. Chachma is Koach Ma, the potential of something. There's a spark of an idea. There's a seed. It hasn't become a tree. It hasn't produced fruit. There's a spark of an idea. Chachma. Bina means already deeper understanding. Bina is to be Maven Davar Mitoch Davar. Bina means I can at least map out the idea. I can explain it. I can talk about the components of it. I haven't done it yet. I always use the mashal. I'm making a chair, yeah? I'm creating the most comfortable chair that ever was. So I have this idea. A spark of an idea. Chachma. I can't even describe it yet. Bina means I can at least draw up a blueprint of it. I can't sit on it yet. I can't sell it yet. I don't have it. It doesn't exist tangibly. I can't hold it in my hand. I can't make direct contact with it. But Bina means I have a mature, developed understanding of the idea. If you remember yesterday, I mentioned that Kabbalistically, Chachma and Bina are Abba and Ima. You understand why that is? Because what does the father provide in terms of the development of a child? The spark of an idea. A drop of seed. Right? It's the mother who nurtures for 9 months the child and develops something. Understand? So Chachma and Bina. Chachma is the spark of an idea, the beginning of a thought. Right? Koach Ma, there's potential, there's something there. I can't really describe it or define it yet. Bina now is Maven Davar Mitoch Davar. I can expound one thing from another thing. I have the puzzle pieces. I didn't put the puzzle together yet, but I've got all the pieces, right? And I can envision what it would look like. And lastly, Chachma, Bina, and then Das. Right? Das, as it appears, as we just had it in last week's Parsha, the first time it appears in the Torah, V'yoda Adam is Chava Ishto. Adam knew Chava, means he had a deep, intimate connection with Chava. Das means it's tangible, it's real, I can touch it. Das means my chair that I've been dreaming of creating has been created. Okay? So that's Chachma, Bina, and Das. Chachma is the starting point of an idea, Bina is the development of the idea, and Das is really bringing it down. Das is making it a reality. What's above that? What's beyond Chachma? What's even before the spark of the idea? Right? There's a higher Ratzon of a Kaddish Baruch Hu that's even before we have any understanding of anything. Even before the beginning of an idea of Chachma. So once you get into the world of Chachma, from Chachma and down, so to speak, yeah, in terms of the Midos and the Sphiros, from Chachma and down, already we think we start to understand something, right? Man starts to think he's a Yesh. Man starts to think that he's involved here. There's a point beyond where we know we have nothing to do with this. So what do we say in Asher Yatzar? Okay, let's look at the words again. So says the Berditcher, "Lachein anu omer Asher Yatzar es ha'adam b'chachma." Meaning what? The chachma hu madregas yesh. What does he mean, chachma hu madregas yesh? Chachma already means, right, that there's some beginning of an understanding. There's something, there's not just Hashem, it's not just Ein Sof, it's not just God all-encompassing, but now there's me and I have an understanding of God. Right? So when I start to think that there's a yesh, so what happens? It's no longer Hashem is Yotzer, but Asher Yotzar as ha'adam b'chachma. As soon as Chachma arrives, as soon as there's some type of man-made involvement or understanding, all of a sudden Hashem is no longer Yotzer or Uvorei Choshech, but it's Asher Yotzar as ha'adam. So now the question you might ask is, so why don't we say when we use the bathroom, right, remind myself that it's not just that once upon a time Hashem gave me the faculties to be able to relieve myself, but at every second Hashem makes it possible. Why would I make a bracha with this kind of bidi eved, you know, terminology, right? Why would I want a bracha asher yatzar? Yatzar we're saying is a person who is already disconnecting from Hashem. Why would I want to make a bracha like that? So you could say, and we're going to have to answer it, because if you're thinking for a second what this piece is doing here, why is this here? Because Bereishis bara. Right? Bereishis bara. It doesn't say Bereishis Hashem is... Bereishis bara. Bara is Lashon Avar. So why isn't it Bereishis, you know, Borei? Okay, it doesn't really make sense, but he's asked to explain that. If Hashem... That's his question, really, on the first two words of the Torah. Right? What do you mean Hashem created? Hashem is creating. That's sort of the question, that the unspoken implied question that the Berditchover is dealing with. So why would I make a bracha asher yatzar es ha'adam b'chachma? So someone suggested to me over Shabbos, and I think it's a good point, that there is a system, meaning there is a physical reality, right? Meaning it's only like in Kafka that you wake up one morning and you're a cockroach. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't happen. You go to sleep with two eyes, and it's Hashem, you wake up with two eyes. There's still a framework by which Hashem likes to operate. So when we go to the bathroom, we're acknowledging that there is a system to the body. Asher yatzar es ha'adam b'chachma. There was a chachma, and there's a way for us to even understand it. I can study the body. I can understand the way that Hashem programmed the body. And it's very unusual to wake up one morning with three arms or three legs. Yeah? Asher yatzar es ha'adam. Asher yatzar es ha'adam. Yes, there was a yitzira. There was some framework that Hashem at one point set up. And that's b'chachma. From the world of chachma and beyond. But what the Berditcher is letting us in on is a secret. And the secret is, even though, yes, there is a natural order to things, and there is a way that the sun operates in the sky, and there is a way that your heart beats in your chest. And Asher Yatzar, yes, Hashem once upon a time decided on a design. There is a design. But the secret is, we have to live with Hashem as what? Not as Yatzar, but as Yotzer. Okay? So even though the Torah might even begin, Bereishis Bara, and tell us that the world was once created, the Berditcher is letting us in on the secret. Don't be fooled by that. From the first words of the Torah, we have to be very deep thinkers. Don't be fooled by the pshat of the Torah. The pshat of the Torah is God once upon a time created the world. That's true. But God is also recreating the world every second. And that's what we're trying to live with. That's what he's teaching us. Okay, so let's go on. Let's read inside. V'lechein anu omrim asher yatzar es ha'adam b'chachma, d'chachma hu madregas yesh. Chachma, again, already means some degree of understanding, of self-sufficiency, or a perspective, or a perception of self-sufficiency. And that's why it's yotzar, past, as opposed to yotzar. V'lechein nemar b'kisvei Arizal, sh'Hashem melech hu b'chinas ayin. Now don't be fooled. It took me a while to figure this line out. I was very confused by it. I even looked up the Arizal in the Shar's Miros to figure out what he's talking about. He's not saying Hashem Melech. He's saying Hashem Melech da da da. Right? The whole phrase, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch, is this idea that Hashem always was, and Hashem is, and Hashem forever will be. That idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the constant of all reality, Hashem Melech Hu Bechinas Ayin. Right? So you'll say, Melech is the past. No, he means Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch is this concept of Ayin. That Hashem is all-encompassing. Hashem always was. Hashem always will be. Hashem is right now. That's the concept of Ayin. That's living with the reality that there is no me. There is no independent me. There is no yesh. There is no independent existence. I remember I once saw on the back of the Sefer Tamayim and Hagim. You know the Sefer Tamayim and Hagim? Explains all the interesting things that we do throughout the calendar year. So in the Kuntres Achron, on the back of the Sefer, I think he quoted from Rav Uri of Strelitz, who said, the truth is we remind ourselves of this Vart from the Berditchever, this idea, not a Vart, this deep idea in Torah from the Berditchever, every single time we make a bracha. Why do I say Borei Pri Ha'etz, meaning an apple? Borei Pri Ha'etz? Borei, you're creating my apple? The apple I'm holding in my hand, you created it. I admit you made it, Hashem. The seed grew in the ground, there was a tree, there was apples, the farmer brought it to my farmer's market in my neighborhood. And now I'm holding it, and I'm going to say thank you, God, for making in the past this apple, for creating this apple, past tense. What do you mean, Borei Pri Ha'etz? So I think it was Rav Uri of Strelitz who explained that no, Borei Pri Ha'etz, that the apple is being recreated from the time that you hold it in your hand to the time you put it in your mouth. Every second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is recreating it. And there's no guarantee the apple is going to be there by the time it reaches your mouth. Hashem is Borei. Hashem is Yotzer. Hashem is actively involved in every bit of our life. So let's read again. So Hashem Melech hu bechinas ayin. Ki Hashem Melech, right? Again, Hashem Melech dat dat dat. Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch. Shu achshav nosein banu chiyus. Vahu bechinas ayin. She'in anu klom rak Hashem Yisbarach nosnu banu kalach. Okay? This is a very, very deep and important idea. Now let's go a step further. V'inei ayin hu misnahek ha'kol l'mal me'ateva. Ayin means beyond teva, beyond understanding, beyond the natural world. V'hayesh, and yesh, right? Yesh means, again, our perception of existence is within teva. Within teva, this is a chair, right? There's no guarantee that from one smack to the next, the chair is still going to be there. But b'derech teva it is. L'mal min teva, on the level of ayin, right? The chair that I was just smacking is not necessarily there. It's not necessarily going to be there. So ayin operates beyond teva. Yesh operates within physical reality. Amnam bihischabrus sha'anu mechabrim ha'yesh ba'ayin, hu al yedei ha'mitzvah v'torah shenikres v'chayos ratzav v'shof. So he says, we try to bring together yesh and ayin through Torah and mitzvah in the way of ratzav v'shof. What does that mean? Pasuk in Yechezkel. That the chayos are ratzav v'shof, that the angels are running forwards and backwards. Every time we're involved in Torah or mitzvos, right? It's even easier to maybe understand it in a mitzvah. We're involved in yesh and ayin. If you put on tefillin this morning, which I hope everyone did, if you put on tefillin this morning, so you were involved in yesh and ayin. The yesh of tefillin is the fact that you tied an animal hide to your arm. Right? A little deeper than that is the fact that it had parshios inside, which contained the word of God. A little deeper than that is that the physical black boxes that you tie to your arm have a shoresh lamala, which has nothing to do with physical black boxes tied to your arm. There's a pnimius to tefillin. There's an ayin to tefillin. There's a depth to tefillin that goes beyond anything you could ever, you could read every book on tefillin ever written. You could study the sodos of the Arizal and Kavanos tefillin. And you'll still, there's a part of tefillin that's totally, because it's Hashem. The same way this chair looks like a physical chair, but it's also really part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So to my tefillin and every word of Torah. There's the pashup shah, there's the yesh, there's the revealed aspect of the Torah, there's the black box I'm tying to my arm, but then there's a component of ayin. There's an element that's so beyond, and that's why it's such a big bracha that Hashem allows us to wear tefillin. Hashem says, take a lulav and make sure the middle leaf isn't split. And if you do that, right, you say, a palm, what do you want from this palm branch, God? You're just holding the yesh of the mitzvah of lulav in your hand, but there's an ayin to lulav. And if your lulav is kosher, you're connected. If your lulav is pasul, then you're not going to be connected. You're going to, right? You don't have the yesh, and you're not going to have the ayin. But every mitzvah, every word of Torah, he says, is an element of yesh v'ayin. He quotes a Zohar. Zeh shekasu b'zohar ki mitzvos ha'Torah hu sasum v'isgalia. Mitzvos and Torah are sasum, are concealed, v'isgalia, and revealed. Because every aspect of Torah has secrets and more secrets and more secrets. And it has a revealed halacha and a revealed pshat and a pasuk. Ki sasum hu merumas la'ayin v'sgalim rumas liyesh. There's the yesh component and there's the ayin component. The revealed and the concealed. Shu'eschab is yesh v'ayin v'ayin b'yesh. And they're interwoven with one another in a very precise way. So you can't say, well, you know, the yesh of tefillin or the yesh of lulav, right, is that God wants us to walk around with a palm branch. So does it really matter if the palm branch is like the right type of palm branch? Right? But the answer is yes, because if you understand that yesh is deeply connected to an ayin, you got to have the right yesh. You got to have the right material in your hands. Then he says an amazing thing. Do you know that the word mitzvah hints to this idea? What is the word mitzvah? So he says an amazing thing. He says, l'chein nikreis mitzvah. He says, mitzvah implies ayin v'yesh. How so? What's Hashem's basic name? Yud and hey and vav and hey. If you look at the word mitzvah, mem, tzadi, vav, and hey, the last two letters of mitzvah are the same as the last two letters of Hashem's name. The first two letters, mem and tzadi, are not the same as yud and hey, but they're very much connected. Why? Because in Atbash is a system where we exchange an aleph for a tav, first letter with the last letter, a bez and a shin, a gimel and a resh, a dalet and a kuf. In Atbash, mem and tzadi are yud and hey. So what is the word mitzvah? Mem tzadi vav hey means the vav hey of Hashem's name stays the same. And the mem and tzadi are what? Are a transformed version of yud and hey. So what does that mean to us? Look what he says. He says, l'chein nikreis mitzvah, ki mem tzadi hu ba'atbash yud hey. Right? Mem and tzadi are exchanged. Tzadi is a hey and mem is a yud. Dohi b'chinas ha'ayin, that's the ayin, so to speak. Why is that the ayin? Ayin, we're saying, is sosum, is concealed, right? So the mem and tzadi are concealing, right? This isn't really mem and tzadi. What is it really? What's the concealed reality of mem and tzadi? What is it really hiding? Mem and tzadi are hiding what? Yud and hey, right? You look at the word, you say, oh, mem and tzadi. No, no, no. If you have deep eyes, you see that mem and tzadi is just a code for what? For yud and hey. The vav hey is revealed, right? The vav hey is the same vav hey in Hashem's name. So the mem and tzadi, the transformed hidden part of Hashem's name, is b'chinas ayin, is the concealed part of every mitzvah. Because every mitzvah has a concealed component. V'os yos vav hey shal mitzvah, hu b'chinas yesh. And the last two letters, which are revealed, right? It's the same two letters as God's name, so you know it has to do with God. That's the revealed component of the mitzvah. But every mitzvah, again, has these duality, these two components. V'lachein, os yos yod hey hu sasum, ki ayin hu sasum. And therefore, the yud hey is concealed, because yud and hey alludes again to the deeper dimension, and the deeper dimension has to be hidden, as opposed to letters vav hey, which are the lower letters of Hashem's name. They're able to be revealed. But the higher letters have to be concealed. Yeah.
What's like the atbash? That's like you switch. It's like a
first letter switched with the last letter. Right. What's the idea of atbash? Yeah. What's the source that we have such a concept in Torah? That's a good question. That's a good question. But it's not something that was made up like 50 years ago. Okay, it's already found in Tikkuni Zohar. There are things that people do with letters and with words and things that are outside of the realm of what tzaddikim have done. I'm like a stickler for that. You know, I'm very into gematria and I'm very open to these types of ramazim, but it has to be something that someone, you know, some tzaddik was doing at least 500 years ago. If you're doing something with like, you know, oh, English letters, God is 26, same as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which it is, right? G-O-D, I think it's 26. Anyone want to check it out? Okay, but that's like, okay, that's cute, right? That's cute. That's cute, right? When people say, oh, gematria, that's cute. No, gematria's not cute. That's cute. What I just said was cute, right? The fact that the pasuk says at the end of the Torah, ki lo dava rei kumikem, that it's not an empty thing, is gematria gematrios. Rishonim bring that. Rokeach brings that. Rokeach, the Paneach Raza, Kilo Dava Reku Mikem, I think it's 679 or 769, is Gematria, the Gematria of, it is not an empty thing for you, which is a reference to the whole Torah. The Rishonim say is Gematria, Gematrios. Rishonim say that, Rokeach. The Heilige Rokeach. Okay, so when the Baruch Shemer is telling us, yes, that you're going to do mitzvah is Yud Kei Vav Kei and Atbash, again, your question's a good question. I can give you some reading material on it if you want to understand, you know, what moves are legitimate and what moves are not. But it's not a... Sure, for sure. Atbash is a certain system of understanding the Torah. That there's a relationship between Aleph and Tav, between the first and last letter, and between the second letter and the second to the last letter. I think my name is Atbash. I only figured this out like a year ago. I think Moshe and Tzvi are Atbash of each other. All right, let's think about that again. Mem is Hey, and Tzadi is Yud, and Beis is Shin. Yeah, Moshe and Tzvi is Atbash of itself. Okay, I don't know what that means. But you got to think about your name also. Got to think about these things. Okay. V'nevar zeh, the last paragraph of this piece. V'nevar zeh mahu ha-nister v'ha-nigla sheb'mitzvah. D'zeh she'anu polin b'mitzvah she'anu osin nachas ruach la'shem yisbarach zehu hester she'inu nira lanu. U'ma she'anu polin tovos la'atzmeinu zehu nira lanu. Says the Reditcher, a very beautiful idea. What is the hidden and the revealed of a mitzvah? The hidden component of the mitzvah is the fact that God gets pleasure out of me holding a palm branch. Because I don't understand that, and I don't see that. I don't get a report card. Do I get a report card? You guys get religious report cards? Hashem just throws down report cards for you and know how you're doing? It'd be great, right? We'll see. We'll see. When we get to Parshas Mishpatim, the Berditcher actually gives us a way to check your Avodas Hashem to see how you're doing. He gives us a way to check yourself to see if you're doing well without getting a report card. He gives us a technique to be able to figure out if you're doing well. If you can't wait till Parshas Mishpatim, you'll look on your own. But in Parshas Mishpatim, with the Sefer in front of you, Kedushas Levi, he'll give us a technique. Shem Yishmuel is the same thing in Parshas Bereishis. A technique to figure out how you're doing in Avodas Hashem. But we don't get a report card. So the fact that the Berditchever is telling me, time and time again throughout his Sefer, oh, you do mitzvahs, Hashem gets pleasure from that. Tanug. Hashem gets tanug from your mitzvahs. Yeah? Hashem gets nachas ruach from your mitzvahs. That's nister. I don't know that to be true. I can't prove that. I know it's true because Tzaddikim tell me, but I've never seen that. Right? I never saw Hashem just give me a report card. I never saw God look down from behind the clouds and smile at me when I was holding my lulav. I don't know how I'm doing. So that's the nistar. What's the nigla? And it's very interesting. He says, what's the revealed component of the mitzvah? It's how the mitzvah does good things for me. What that I've seen, or what I've seen that when I say the yiratzim before I shake my lulav, how it brings down hashpaz, that I can tell you. Oh yeah, this business deal is because I shook a lulav this past sukkahs. That's revealed? What do you mean that's revealed? What do you mean by that it's revealed? But even on the most simple level, it's revealed. Because when you meet people who do mitzvahs and learn Torah, you see that they become better people. So it's revealed. Yeah, you see that they're changing. You can see it in your own life. From the time you got more serious about Torah and mitzvahs, you became a better person, period. That's revealed. The fact that Hashem loves me because I walk around in a circle around the bima on sukkahs, the fact that Hashem gets pleasure from that, I have no idea. That's hidden. I don't know what that means. That's a hidden aspect of the response to the mitzvah. But the revealed response to the mitzvah is the fact that my life gets better. And again, yes, maybe I do get that business deal because I shook a lulav and I brought down shefa to my family and to myself. Okay? So he says, that's the pshat in the pasuk at the end of the chumash. V'zeo perash ha-kosuv, dvar in perak lamedalet, ha-nistaros la-Hashem elokeinu. The hidden part, right, what's the pasuk pshat in the pasuk? What does it mean? Hanistaros la'Hashem elokeinu, vaniglos lanu vanenu. Right. So he says Hanistaros, the hidden is for Hashem, means what? Peirush. Hanistaros bechinas hester sheva mitzvah shanu pavolin. The hidden accomplishments of our mitzvos. It's hidden from us, but it's revealed only to Hashem. Hanistaros, that which is hidden from me, la'Hashem elokeinu, gives pleasure to Hashem. Shemasha anu pavolin bo nistar lanu. What I can accomplish by saying one word of Torah. By walking around all day saying, Bereishis, 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 Bereishis. What I accomplish with that is enough to keep the whole world spinning. I can keep 7.5 billion people alive because I walk around saying, Bereishis, Bereishis, Bereishis. Right? I have no idea how that works. That's Nistar. I know it's true because Tzaddikim tell me, because I learned Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Dal Perach Chafei and Perach Yud Aleph, so I know it's true. But I don't know how I, you know, how we know that. I've never seen that. I've never seen the world about to, you know, implode, and I said, Bereishis Bara Elokim, and the world continued to exist because I was learning Torah at that second. So that's Nistar. Hashem knows that. V'haniglos b'chinas hisgalus, but the revealed aspect of the mitzvah, hu lanu l'vaneinu, is for us and for our descendants, for all of our children, hu masha anu meviim shefa shu nigla lanu. But how mitzvah impacts me in a revealed way, that I know about. Niglos is lanu l'vaneinu. So now we finish the piece. V'zehu b'reishis bar elokim. And now we understand. Now we understand b'reishis bar elokim. We do? I would have expected Bereshis Borei or something like that. Right? I don't want to make it sound like Hashem once upon a time created the world. He says, Zehu Bereshis Bar Elokim, Perish, Shehashem Yisbarach Bara Yesh, Shehu Reshis. Bereshis Bar Elokim, Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created what? A world that exists. A tangible, physical world of Teva, Yesh. Like he said, Ayin is Lamalim and a Teva. Yesh is Teva. Yes, you can touch, you can feel it, you can see it with your own eyes, your physical eyes. So Bereish is Bar Elokim, Hashem created a Yesh, Shehu Reishis, Val Yidei Zenis Hava Shehashem Yisbarach Bar HaShemayim Varetz. And Hashem, who is the Ayin, who is the ultimate Ein Sof, the limitless one, the complete one, the perfect one, that he described in the opening couple of sentences. Yeah? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created from his world of Ayin, he made a Yesh, he made a physical world. He made a world that perceives, that to our perception exists and operates within rules of Teva, nature. The world operates with Derech HaTeva. Right? That's why this far I'm saying that the gematria of Elokim, Bereishis is Bara Elokim, what's the gematria of Elokim? Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem, 86. And I told you that Hashem, that Elokim, Bereishis Bar Elokim, Hashem created the world to operate B'derech HaTeva. What's the gematria of HaTeva? 86. So Elokim represents a HaKadosh Baruch Hu operating within Teva. Bereishis Bar Elokim. Hashem made a physical world where if you have a headache, you take Tylenol and it works. And you don't have to be surprised that it works. Hashem wants us to acknowledge that there's a Teva, there's a physical reality. But all of that is what? Is the lower understanding of reality. Ki kodem hakol nishava ba'ayin. Because before everything, there's an ayin. There's always going to be a place beyond chachma. And he says an amazing thing I never understood. The Talmud Yerushalmi says, Bereishis Bar Elokim, you know how the Targum translates it? The Targum. The Targum translates it? The Targum Yerushalmi says, Bereishis Bar Elokim, Bereishis B'chuchmasa, with chachma. Hashem created the world with chachma. Exactly. Asher Yatzar Esa Adam B'chachma. Bereishis Bara Elokim. With Chachma, Hashem created the physical, natural world. And again, we don't have to pretend that that's not true. We all live with that reality. When we're hungry, we eat food. When we have a headache, we take Tylenol. We want to get to Eretz Yisrael, we get on an airplane. We don't fully understand how it works, but we know that it works. B'derech HaTeva, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu Self. Right? But the reminder that the Berdit Shavar is giving us as we enter into Chumash Bereishis and into Kol HaTorah Kula is a realization that yes, Ki Chachma Hu B'chinas Yesh. That from the world of Chachma and below, there's a Yesh, there's a physical reality. Your arm always was from the day you were born. But with spiritual glasses, that again we've said so many times from the Sfas Emes, Lo Sasura Achrei Levavchem Vachrei Nechem, don't stray after your eyes means don't be fooled by what your physical eyes tell you. A Jew has to walk down the street knowing that every second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like your heart that's beating, like the breath of air that you're breathing, every second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yotzer, 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 Yotzer. Yes. You're saying when you see, right, what happens when you're living in a time where Nistar is Nigla, when hidden is revealed. Okay, interesting question. We're living in the ultimate time. We're living in a time of Hester Panim. Yeah, Anochi Haster Aster Panai Bayomahu. Hashem says, I'm gonna hide my face. It's gonna be the scariest time in history. I told you once a Rashi, I think in Yeshaya, that says the scariest words in the Torah are those words. Anochi Haster Aster. Hashem says, I'm gonna hide my face from you. Yeah. So I want to agree, we're living in a time of unbelievable Hester Panim. I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, I heard from a Rav, he was talking to some young Hasidish kid who was off the derech. And he said, my father and grandfather always tell me these like Sipurim Maisus about big rebbes doing miracles. He said, why did all the miracles stop the day I was born? I hear that. You've seen miracles? I mean, Baruch Hashem, my wife and I have produced 4 children, that's pretty miraculous. Yeah, but like, I don't know, we don't see miracles like Chris Yamsuf. We don't see Rebbeshim miracles in our lifetime. Yeah? So we're living in a time of unbelievable Hester Panim. Right? We're living in a time of unbelievable Hester. Unbelievable divine concealment. A holocaust. We can't even begin to understand. Where's God now? But based on this piece, what can we say about the time which we're living? If it's a time of Hester, that means what? What is Hester? We said the Hester is the nachas ruach we give a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The part of the mitzvah we don't understand. The Arizal once said to Rav Chaim Vital, Rav Moshe Wolfson quotes this in Emunas Yitech in Parshas Sav. He says, one time the Arizal said to Rav Chaim Vital, our neshama is on a higher level than the Tanayim and Amoran. So Rav Chaim Vital said, what? Tanayim lived 1,000 years before us. How can we compare ourselves to the Tanayim? Yeah? So the Arizal said, no, you have to understand. In accordance with the difficulty of our world, we get that much more schar for everything that we do. So it's true, we don't accomplish like the level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Yeah? We're not Rabbi Akiva. Okay? But living 500 years ago, yeah? Rav Chaim Vital and the Arizal, 450 years ago. So the Arizal said to him, we're doing as best we could given our situation, and because we live in such hard times, living in Tzvad in such hard times, yeah, with the Arizal and his Chevra, such hard times to be a Jew, so because it's a harder time, so we get more schar. So prorated, we're like the Tanoim. So Wolfson says, I don't need to point out that 500 years later, right, you can imagine how much harder it is for us to be Jews. And yet, the harder it is, the greater the reward is. So that's really the bracha in the biggest klal in the Torah. You understand? The scariest phrase in the Torah is that Hashem says, I'm going to hide from you. It's going to be the ultimate time of Hester. But what did he tell us, Hester? Hanistaros l'Hashem elokeinu. The more hidden it is, the more what? The more nachas ruach, the more pleasure you give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the double-edged sword of living in our times. Right? It's easier than ever if I wanted to disappear, not be a Jew anymore. I could so easily just disappear overnight. I could disappear and take off my yarmulke, hop on a bus, hop on a plane, and that's it. Right? I can meet up with the whole chevra, I can find the whole team of people to connect with through Facebook, and I'm out of here. I could disappear in a second if I wanted to. Yeah? Okay, but the fact that it's so easy to pursue pleasure and it's so easy to get caught up in the world and it's so hard to still sit in front of a Gemara reading the words of Tanayim and Amoraim from 1600 years ago, okay, we get a great reward. Hanistaros, in the time of Hester, Lashem Elokeinu. You bring unbelievable nachas ruach to Kadosh Baruch. So there is a bracha in living in these times, in a time where it's really hard sometimes to get up in the morning and to be a Jew. We should realize that because we haven't seen miracles in a long time, okay, we don't know exactly what we're accomplishing, but the tzaddikim tell us we're accomplishing more now than ever. And we should be proud of that. Even if it seems, compared to earlier generations, to be very small, again, prorated, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very pleased with us. Okay, let's turn to page Ches. And very quickly, I want to take a look at the piece that begins Rabboseinu Zal. It looks kind of like it's the middle of a piece, but it's really, I think, a new piece. He quotes a medrash. Rabboseinu Zal Amru B'medrash. Okay, so that first piece was very yesodistic, just understanding how to look at reality. And this piece is going to teach us, really, berdichavur l'shitaso, the Heilige Kedushas Levi l'shitaso, how to look at people, and how to inspire people, and how to look at ourselves, and how to inspire ourselves. Rabboseinu Zal amru b'medrash ala pasuk v'yikra Elokim l'or yom. The medrash says, on the words, Hashem called the or yom, ilu ma'aseim shel tzadikim. This refers to the behaviors of the righteous. U'lechoshech kara layla, and to the darkness he called night, elu ma'aseim shel reshaim. Okay, so that's not so hard to understand. A tzaddik is or, a tzaddik is yom, a rasha is choshech and layla. Okay. But then the Medrash says a startling thing. Be'ezem mehen chofetz yoser. Who does Hashem like more? What does Hashem desire more? Ma'aseim shel tzaddikim or ma'aseim shel reshaim? Really? Chazal really had a hava, they're not sure if Hashem likes tzaddikim or reshaim more. That's like a hard question to figure out. The truth is, the tzaddikim, amongst them the Berditchever and the Baal Shem Tov, said, the bigger a tzaddik you are, the more love you have for Hashem, the more you can appreciate that even a Rasha has a holy spark inside of him. So maybe Hashem likes reshaim more than he likes tzaddikim. There's unbelievable quotes from Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman would say to like his closest chassidim and talmidim, he would talk about how he likes the maskilim more than he likes them. So okay, we can understand this medrash like in that kind of way. Rabbi Nachman says, "I like the heretics more than I like the people who are fighting against God more than I like you who just follow everything that I say." And that was Rabbi Nachman's way of, you know, dealing with his chassidim. Some very interesting. There's a piece in one of the Sfarim from Rav Shagar. Anyone know the Sfarim from Rav Shagar? So he has a piece about Rabbi Nachman and how he liked some of the people who like opposed him even more than he liked the people who loved him. Okay, so maybe Hashem likes Rishon more than he likes Tzaddikim. That's what the Medrash says. Who does Hashem like more? Tamid Lomar, Vayar Elokim Asaor, Ki Tov. Hashem chose the light. Hashem saw the light was good. Hashem saw the tzaddikim are good. Hashem likes tzaddikim more than he likes Rishayim. Says the Reditcher, what are you talking about? Ulechora, it's a Pella. Demai Misafkalu Be'ezman Chofit Yoser. What's the Ahava mean that Hashem likes Rishayim more than tzaddikim? What's the Medrash even talking about? What's it asking? V'yevuar B'sum Lev. Al divrei kodshom shelo amru or elu tzadikim v'choshech elu risham el hashamru elu maaseh. Berditchver says the way to solve this mystery is to read the Medrash carefully. It doesn't say light is the tzadikim, darkness is the risham. What does it say? Or elu maaseh, the actions of the tzadikim. Choshech, the actions of the risham. Still, I don't understand. Hashem likes the actions of Rishon more than the actions of Tzaddikim? How do you understand that? But he says, if we think about it carefully, we'll be able to understand it. The Mevu'ah b'Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah explains on the Mishnah in the ninth parak of Brachos, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. We say every day that Hashem, I love you, and I'm going to serve you with what? With all of my heart. B'chol levavacha. With all of my heart. With all of my hearts. With all the components of my heart. Yeah? B'shnei yitzrecha b'yitzer tov v'yitzer hara. Says the Mishnah in the ninth parak of Brachos, serving Hashem with all your heart means with both parts of your heart. The side of your heart that's telling you to do good, and the side of your heart that's telling you to do bad. With your Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. That's a Mishnah in Brachos. Deheich Adam Ovid B'Yetzer Hara Hu Kach. What does it mean to serve Hashem with your Yetzer Hara? It means turn it into another Yetzer Tov? That's not what it says. It says serve Hashem with your Yetzer Hara. How do I serve Hashem with my Yetzer Hara? Explains Rabbeinu Yonah. Explained here by the Kedushas Levi. Demidas Yetzer Tov Hu Lahov Shalom Lirdof Shalom. Using my Yetzer Tov to serve Hashem means that I pursue peace and love and positive feelings and positive language and positive energy. Lekariv es Yisrael b'tov v'ni'im l'avodas yizbarach. That I try to inspire a Jew by telling him, you're such a great Jew. You're such a tzaddik. And he says, no, I'm not, I'm Russian. No, you think you're Russian, but if you would start thinking about yourself like a tzaddik, you would be a different person. You come from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarif, Grach, of Aleah. You need to start thinking of yourself like that. There's a pasuk in the third parak of Mishlei. There's a pasuk in the third parak of Mishlei explained by the Yesod HaAvoda, the first Rebbe of Slonim. The first Slonim Rebbe explained, when the pasuk says in Mishlei, Musar Hashem b'ni al timas. Pashup shat, Musar Hashem b'ni, the Musar of God, the rebuke of Hashem, my son, al timas, do not despise. Take it like a man. Don't be scared. Right? Hashem's going to say some harsh things. Be strong. Musar Hashem b'ni al timas. Don't get turned off because Hashem's screaming at you. But the Slonim Rebbe said, no, that's not the pshat. He said, Musar Hashem, you know what the biggest Musar Hashem can give you is? Musar Hashem, you know what the Musar of Hashem is? B'ni. When Hashem says, you're my child, you're a ben melech, al timas. How could you despise such a thing? When you realize you're part of the royal family, you look at yourself differently. I can't do this type of behavior because I'm created b'tzelem elokim. I'm a chelek elokim imal. I am bonim atem l'Hashem lokeichem in Parshas Re'eh. That's me. So when I see myself in that way, right, that's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and inspiring others to serve Hashem with what? With the Yetzer Tov. What does it mean to use the Yetzer Hara to serve Hashem? He says, Umidas HaYetzer Hara Hu Kas V'Sina. Anger, hatred. How can I serve Hashem with anger and hatred? You know how? I can be angry at things that are against Hashem. I can hate things that are against Torah values. That's also a way to serve Hashem. While the Russia uses hatred and negativity and animosity to fight against Hashem, to go against the will of the Creator, to hate religious people, but the tzaddik can take that same midah, the midah of the Yetzer Hara Gufa, and he can be Oved Hashem by hating and rejecting things that are against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means, says Rabbeinu Yonah, to serve Hashem b'shnei Yitzrecha. Serve Hashem with your Yetzer Tov. Use the positive side of yourself to serve Hashem. And also use some of those negative characteristics. Use them in a positive way. So says the Reditcher, so that's the question of the Medrash. Which, right? Or is Ma'aseyem Shel Tzadikim? Choshech is Ma'aseyem Shel Rishon. which is a better way to serve Hashem? Should I serve Hashem with Ava and being Rodev Shalom? That's my Yetzer Tov. Or should I take the Midos of the Yetzer Hara, right? Of Kas and Sina, and use those to make an angry, fiery way of service of Hashem? And that's what the Medrash answers, that the better way is what? The better way, of course, this is the Berditchever, the way of love. The Berditchever says, Ulafiza Yavur. Now we understand the Medrash. Vayikra Elokim Laor Yom Elu Maaseim Shal Tzadikim. Shemidasim Rach Tov. Lekare Ves Yisrael Betochas Musar Imre Noam Amiskablin Alev. Sheazov Rosh Hadarko. The way of the Tzadik is to come to a Jew and to give him Musar that are sweet and gentle, that can be accepted by the heart, that the Russian will want to abandon his way. Ulachoshekar Laila. And to the night Hashem called, to the darkness Hashem called night, that's the Maaseim Shal Rishon. Perish, Lo Rishon Gufam. The Medrash never entertained the possibility that God likes wicked people. But maybe the same way that wicked people use a certain drive to serve Hashem, they use some of those negative characteristics to serve, to rebel against Hashem, maybe you could use those same things to serve Hashem. Shabahem Ein Lehem Chayfet. Hashem doesn't desire the Rishon. Hashem doesn't desire the Rishon themselves. Rak Maaseim Shal Hem Ra. But maybe the actions of the Rasha can be used. Right? And therefore answers the Medrash. What does the Medrash answer? Medrash says, Vayar Elokim Asaor Kitov. Hashem says, No. I want people to be Jewish because they realize that it's a good thing to be a Jew. With a positivity, with a positive language. Right? Makari people in that type of way. Says the Berditchever in the next paragraph. V'kevan shebishnei hamidos shal tzadikim v'shal v'sham yichom lavar Hashem yisparach. Since I could use both of these characteristics to serve Hashem. Which one does Hashem like more? And the Medrash answers that Hashem likes the one who's makariv with positivity. With sweet and gentle words. To bring people back with positivity. And the reason is ki tov. Here's the punchline. Why does Hashem like that way? Ki tov. Not just because it is good, but because He is good. Why did Hashem create you? Hashem created for you to suffer? Hashem created for you to have a bitter and angry experience? Or Hashem wanted you to come to this world to have a pleasant experience? One of the reasons our Masechta, Masechta Sukkah, knows what the Dal and Minam are, it says it disqualifies certain things because they have thorns on them. And Derachei Darchei Noam, God wouldn't ask you to do a mitzvah where your fingers are going to be ripped apart by the thorns. Torah is supposed to be a pleasant experience. So ki tov, just like Hashem, who's good and pleasant, created you, so when you try to create someone else, when you try to have a hashpah on someone else, or when you're trying to be inspired, realize that there is a positive way to come to Torah and mitzvahs. It can be done with Ava. It doesn't have to be done with fiery Musar Shmuzin that rip you to pieces to try to inspire you. The Berditchever says, that is a way. That's Maaseim Shal Rishon. And it's a way. But Vayar Elokim Asaor Kitov. Hashem prefers the way of light, the way of positivity. Okay, thanks for being patient. Yeah.
I was thinking that, wouldn't that argument just fall on itself? Because if we're using your Yetzer Hara to use good things, then it's really your Yetzer Tov.
No, it's a Midah. It's a Midah that the Yetzer Hara gravitates towards. It's a Midah that's more naturally used for negativity. You could take it and use it in a positive way. But there are certain characteristics that are more natural for the Yetzer Hara. And more often than not, they are abused and misused. Chiddush is, you could take it and transform it and try to use it in a positive way. But it's Maaseim. In terms of the global picture, it's Maaseim Shal Rishon. It's more commonly used by a Rasha than by a Tzaddik.
To have the mindset that you're going to use your negative thoughts in the Yetzer Hara for your Yetzer Tov, isn't that really just the Yetzer Tov?
No, again, in that particular case, you're going to turn it into a Yetzer Tov. You're going to use it in a positive way. But again, I think we would still categorize a certain behavior just because you're using it as a tool, right? If 99% of the world uses it as a weapon, then we're going to call it a weapon. So I think that's what the Medrash means. Maaseh, it's still Maaseh Shal Rishon. It's typically used as the behavior of wicked people. But you have the potential to use it in a good way. But the Ikar is to be in the camp of the Tzaddikim and to use it in the positive way. I'll just conclude, because I told you I wanted to do one more piece, but I'll tell it to you outside. You can look at it later inside. It's in Parshas Chukas. It's on page Shin Gimel, I think, in your edition. I looked in Eliot's before, but I don't know if I remembered the page number right. So take a look on page Shin Gimel. It's in Parshas Chukas. Just show you the piece, because it's a very beautiful piece. And I'll just tell it to you outside. This is, we're running out of time here. V'dibartem el hasel. When Moshe hits the rock. Obviously, according to the song. Yeah. Bottom right hand corner. Bottom right hand corner, page Shin Gimel, Vidibartem El Asela. What did Moshe do wrong? So according to some Rishonim, Rashi says he hit the rock. According to the Ramban, he told the Jewish people, Shimu Nahamorim, listen up, you rebels. He yelled at the Jews. According to Rashi, Moshe erred by hitting the rock. According to the Ramban, the chet of Moshe was that he yelled at the Jews and called them rebels. Says the Kedushas Levi, it's one and the same. What does it mean it's one and the same? He says there's two ways to give a person tochacha. And again, it's a similar yesod that we just learned in Bereishis. You could try to give a person tochacha by telling them your neshama comes from tachas kisei hakavod, you come from the avos and the imos, you come from such holy stock, you could be such a great person. Right? Musa Hashem bini, you're my child, you're Hashem's child, al timas, how could you reject that? That's one way to do tochacha. He says some people give tochacha by embarrassing people, by screaming at them, by making them feel so stupid that they want to be a Jew, because their life is so shallow and so empty. You can inspire a person in that way. So says the Berditra, which one is the proper leader? What's the better way? And he says very clearly, he says, the true Manig Yisrael, the true leader of the Jewish people, knows how to bring people close, even with gentle and positive words. You don't have to beat someone up in order to get them to follow the will of Hashem. He says the true manik is able to what? Is able to give gentle tochacha and bring people close, not with harsh words. And he says, whatever the manhig, the leader of the Jewish people, is doing for the Jewish people is reflected by the whole world, because the world is created for the Jewish people. So says the Reditchever, it's one and the same. If you scream at Klal Yisrael and you tell them they're bad, then you're going to have to hit a rock to get it to give water. But if you know how to talk to Klal Yisrael in a positive way, if you could speak kind words to Klal Yisrael, then the whole world will also come along easily. Then you can just tell a rock, rock, can I have some water? And the water will just pour right out of the rock. You don't have to hit the rock. So the two opinions are connected. Again, what was the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu? Some Rishonim say he yelled at Klal Yisrael. Some say he hit the rock. The Berditchever says it's the same thing. If you talk nicely to people, right, then the world will follow in suit. But if you're going to scream at people, if you're going to be tough on people, you're going to tell them they're bad, then the same way you have to beat up a person to get something out of them, you're going to have to beat up a rock to get something out of it. The Berditchever says it's one and the same. And again, he says very strongly here, very clearly, that the proper way to give tochacha and the proper way to be an inspiration to Jews is to do so in the way of what? In the way of positivity. I want to just end with a story from the biography of Rav Gustman. Rav Gustman, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he's a great Rosh Hashiva. He's an amazing person. The whole story of Rav Gustman is amazing. Arts will finally put out a biography. Even in the Hakdama, they say we're like 25 years late. I don't know why we never wrote a biography of Rav Yisrael Zev Gustman, because he was an unbelievably big person. When he was 20 years old, maybe 22, he was sitting already as a dayan on Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, his based in Vilna. He says Rav Chaim Ozer, one time he came to a meeting, and Rav Chaim Ozer was like one of the Ziknei Yisrael, one of the Gedolei Ador, maybe the leader of world Jewry at the time, stood up for him. He was 20 years old. He was a big gon, Rav Gustman. So listen to this piece. It's on page 151 from the Artscroll biography of Rav Gustman. Rav Gustman opened Yeshivas Netzach Yisrael in Yerushalayim in what was then, as noted, the primarily secular neighborhood of Rechavia. His yeshiva is still there. It's on the corner of a street in Rechavia. One of the non-observant neighbors, a German Jew, walked past the Rosh Yeshiva, who was attired in a Hamburg and a frock coat, and in addition wore a beard and payas. "Who are you?" the man asked. "I'm the shamish," Rav Gustman gave his usual reply to queries regarding his position in the yeshiva. The man looked him over. "What are you planning on doing in this neighborhood?" he asked. The Rosh Yeshiva explained that he was opening a yeshiva. The man pursed his lips in disapproval. "Will you be throwing stones at us on Shabbos?" he inquired. "No, certainly not," replied the Rosh Yeshiva. "We won't be throwing stones. Instead, I plan on doing something much worse than that. By the time I'm through, you'll be a Shomer Shabbos. I'm going to inspire you so much, you're going to become from." Right? That's how you win people. You don't throw stones at people. You tell, "I'm going to show you how great you are, that you're going to be a member of my yeshiva one day." And again, that's the approach of the Berditchever. You don't have to throw stones, you don't have to hit stones to get it to produce water. In Mayim El Torah. If you treat a Jew like a person, and you recognize, again, the Chelak Elokam Imal inside of a Jew, then it's able to produce results. And again, that's the Maaseim Shel Tzadikim. That's the Ur by which Kadosh Baruch Hu refers to as Tov in the beginning of creation of the world. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Shkoyach. We'll do a Mir Tashem Noach on Thursday. Shkoyach. Okay, so let's figure out what the plan is here. We're in the middle of a very weighty introductory topic to Masechta yesterday. So I think what we should do is the following. Here's what I'm going to suggest, and you can voice your thoughts on the matter.